Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we are going to go over the Mike Tomlin press conference, a special Monday Mike Tomlin press conference with the Steelers playing on Thursday this week. He did his press conference on Monday, and that gives us an opportunity to talk about it here on the Tuesday show. So I'll play some clips from Tomlin and talk about the things he had to say after that big win over the Baltimore Ravens. We also now have a report from Adam Crowley of ESPN Radio in Pittsburgh that an end may be in sight for the Le'Veon Bell holdout. We'll talk about that today. And we'll also talk about a schedule update for the Steelers as one of their games got moved from Sunday Night Football to 1 p.m. and CBS has protected many other games. So we'll talk about the schedule update as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. You can like the Facebook page by searching Locked On Steelers, or you can join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. But let's start today with some news and notes, some injury notes. On Monday, the Steelers did not practice, but they did put out a practice participation report. And this was kind of a hypothetical. If we practiced, here's our best estimation of who would have practiced and who would not. So again, this is not a real practice report. This is the Steelers' best estimate for what would have happened if they did practice on Monday. Again, it's an accelerated week with the game being on Thursday. The Steelers will practice on Tuesday, go through probably a walkthrough on Wednesday, and then right into the game on Thursday. So the injury notes or the practice report looks like this. Ryan Switzer and James Washington, both wide receivers, would have been limited in practice. Ryan Switzer dealing with an ankle injury that he suffered during that game against the Baltimore Ravens, and James Washington dealing with a knee problem, both would have been limited. Defensive tackle Dan McCullers also would have been limited in that practice with an ankle injury. So we'll see. Again, those three players, very interested to watch what happens on Wednesday in the really what's going to be the only practice of the week. And then as far as players who would not have practiced, a lot of these are going to be coaches' decisions. Ben Roethlisberger would have had the day off. They list him as a finger injury, although he rarely ever practices on Wednesdays. Joe Hayden would have been out with thanks to a coach's decision. Same thing can be said for Marquise Pouncey. Just veterans' days off for those guys. The only player, you know, of note here as far as did not practice or would not have practiced, I guess, is Marcus Gilbert, the right tackle, would not have practiced. Looks like he's going to miss his third game in a row. Remember, he missed that game against the Browns coming out of the bye week, missed this game against the Baltimore Ravens. Likely looks like he'll miss this game against the Carolina Panthers as well. But we've talked about Matt Filer in the past and how good he's been. The depth on the Steelers' offensive line has been terrific. And Filer coming in, playing against a very good pass-rushing team in the Cleveland Browns. Ben Roethlisberger's shirt was kept clean in that one. Same thing can be said about this game against the Baltimore Ravens. And James Conner ran for 100 yards in both. So taking nothing away from the play of Marcus Gilbert, he's a very good right tackle in this league. But Daniel McCullers as a backup coming in, and this offense didn't miss a beat. So credit to what Matt Filer is doing at the right tackle spot. The NFL has flexed the Steelers-Jaguars Sunday night football game. That was to be played 2 weeks from now. That game is now going to be a 1 p.m. start from Sunday night football. It was pretty obvious, given the way the Jaguars season has gone right now, that the Steelers-Jaguars was just not the best game they could put on Sunday Night Football. That game, as we've talked about last week, that game may be a game played between Ben Roethlisberger and Landry Jones. Landry Jones signed by the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, and I think a lot of people expect he will become the eventual starter on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting matchup, Steelers-Jags. A revenge game, certainly, in Jacksonville. And as I've talked about, the Steelers and Jaguars play close matchups pretty much every game, or at least the Jaguars give the Steelers fits and have all the way back from when they were in the same division back in the old AFC Central. So, you know, just because the Jaguars are having a down year, don't think that that's going to be an easy win. It never is when it's Steelers-Jaguars. And then CBS also protected four Steelers games late in the year. So the networks have the option of protecting football games to stop them from being flexed into Sunday Night Football. And of course, as we've talked about, the Steelers are going to really run a gauntlet here to the end of the year. So CBS doing the right thing here and protecting those games, keeping them on CBS. Steelers Broncos will remain a 4:25 start in that football game. Steelers Chargers will remain a 1 p.m. start. I'm actually surprised to see that Steelers Chargers is going to remain a 1 p.m. start. That game will be in Heinz Field. Steelers Patriots will remain a 4:25 start, and the same can be said about Steelers Saints. You can expect the Steelers on national football three of those weeks. Steelers Chargers, the 1 p.m. start. You know, the 1 p.m. window is very much a local window, so if you're not in the Steelers market, very likely then you're gonna miss out on Steelers Chargers. But Steelers Broncos, Steelers Patriots, Steelers Saints, as long as you're not in a market that's a 4 p.m. window, you're going to see those games on national TV, although none of those games will be flexed to Sunday Night Football. So if you're trying to make travel plans to go to Pittsburgh to see any of those games and you're worried, is this game going to get flexed to Sunday Night Football, they will not. All of those football games will remain at those times. Hey, before we continue, I want to tell you guys about Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And for you Steeler fans, that means a trip out to Heinz Field. How about this Thursday, a big game against the Carolina Panthers? And these Thursday games, usually the prices are pretty low for these weekday games in Heinz Field. So check out Vivid Seats. They have great prices. You can sort by price or look for tickets in the section and row of your choice. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off orders of $200 or more if you're a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the app, enter that promo code Locked On for $20 off $200. We have another new report in the ongoing Le'Veon Bell holdout saga. This one coming straight from Le'Veon Bell and a report from Adam Crowley of ESPN. Let's start with Le'Veon Bell himself. Le'Veon tweeting farewell to Miami, where he's been spending his time during his holdout, both working out and kind of enjoying life on the jet ski down in Miami. The speculation after he tweeted that was, where is he going? Is he coming back to Pittsburgh? I had thought Tuesday might be a day where he could show up in Pittsburgh. It would make sense because it starts the roster exemption timeline if that's where the Steelers are going, or he could potentially even be paid for a week where he's guaranteed not to play. Again, the Steelers on a short week, makes sense for Le'Veon Bell to show this week, potentially get paid for a game he doesn't play, or at least start the roster exemption timeline. That doesn't seem to be the case, though. According to ESPN Radio's Adam Crowley, Le'Veon Bell intends to be at the Ohio State and Michigan State game this weekend. That game is on Saturday, and then report before the November 13th deadline when he has to sign his franchise tag for the 2018 year if he wants his contract to toll for the 2018 season. So, that kind of puts an end to it right there. I mean, the speculation has been for the past week, will Le'Veon Bell show up at all? And if reports are to be believed, and I think at this point it's pretty clear, if he's leaving Miami, if he's going to go to Michigan for this game and then make his way to Pittsburgh, it makes sense that this is how he would do it. And so there you go. Le'Veon Bell will likely show up now on Tuesday, and he will be a member of this team for the second half of the year. Now, the question becomes at that point, what is his usage in 2018? Mark Caboli of The Athletic wrote a great article yesterday about how Le'Veon Bell could be another weapon in this offense that makes them amongst the best in the league. You know, I talked about this yesterday on this podcast, and I also talked about this on the Locked On NFL podcast with Matt Williamson on Sunday. This team right now, the Steelers are entering into a second half of the year where the questions are no longer, are they a good football team? Can they win the division? You know, those questions are gone now. I think we know the Steelers are a quality football team. They are amongst the contenders, but are they a true contender right now? That is the question that the second half of the year will answer. And the questions I have are really about this offense and this offense's ability to sustain 30-plus point performances against the best of the best in this league. And so bringing Le'Veon Bell into that equation, can he put this offense over the top? I think Caboli does a great job outlining the reasons why that very much could be the case. And I've heard people talk about Le'Veon Bell potentially as a third receiver and working him in that way because the Steelers have struggled to get a James Washington going. There's not a whole lot of confidence in Justin Hunter right now. And the third wide receiver spot, certainly the weak point on the offense. But I just think the trickle-down effect of having Le'Veon Bell come in and try to be a third receiver, you know, putting him in the slot where I guess he would work best, I just don't know that that's the best usage for him, because what it does to Juju. Again, Juju's the best receiver on this football team right now, statistically, and there's a reason for that. He's such a mismatch in the slot against those smaller nickel corners that he can just physically dominate. And so I don't like the idea of moving Juju to the outside so you can put Le'Veon in the slot. Le'Veon nowhere near Juju as a slot receiver. And I just don't like the idea of having to shift around what's already working on this offense to work Le'Veon Bell in. I think the Steelers should just continue doing what they're doing. I mean, work James Conner as a running back. You work Juju in the slot. If James Washington or Justin Hunter emerges in the second half of the year, fine. If they don't, I mean, that's fine too. Again, it's not like outside receiver is this problem for the Steelers. They still have to get more from Antonio Brown. I think that's a bigger problem for the second half of the year, is how do we get Antonio Brown looking like Antonio Brown again? But they're not having any problems scoring either. I mean, it's not like this team is having problems putting up points over the past month or so. I mean, they are scoring at a pretty good clip. So the question is, you know, how do you work Le'Veon Bell into the offense? And I think don't change anything special. I mean, just work Le'Veon in where it makes sense. You know, you could design kind of plays and use him in like a, you know, like a Tavon Austin type role as kind of an X factor in the offense where you bring him in with James Conner and all of that. Although you've seen the Steelers do that in the past when they had D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon and they tried to do those two running back sets, and that offense didn't really work that well at the time. I don't see any reason when we bring Le'Veon Bell back in, or if Le'Veon comes back into the fold, excuse me, and you know, he's looking like Le'Veon again, I don't see any reason to change up the offensive formula just to get him going. Again, the offensive formula is not broken. He just needs to be another piece. Work him in where you can. The thing I'm actually more worried about when it comes to the Le'Veon Bell situation is how does this work off the field? I mean, is his return really, you know, going to mess with any of the chemistry in the locker room? Again, the beginning part of this year was characterized by Le'Veon Bell and his absence and the Steelers' response to it. And certainly the beginning part of this year and how poorly this team played was in some ways a reflection of the fact that, you know, their mind was in another place at times. You can't deny that. Now, how much of it was that and how much of it was this team just being unprepared at the beginning of the year? You'll never know. We'll never know that. But Le'Veon Bell and his absence certainly had an effect on this team early in the year. And so the question for me, the biggest question, is Le'Veon Bell coming back into this team, how does he work back in from a chemistry standpoint? This team is in a very good place right now. Le'Veon Bell could be a catalyst that puts this offense amongst the best in the league with the Kansas Cities, with the New Orleans, with the LA Rams, with all the New England Patriots, all the best offenses in the league that seem to be the runaway Super Bowl contenders. That could be the case. But it could also be the case that Le'Veon coming back causes some discord in the locker room and this thing kind of falls apart again. I'll be interested to see. I trust Mike Tomlin in that way. I trust the leaders on this football team to stop that from happening. But you saw what happened at the beginning of the year. It is certainly going to be a worry over the next couple weeks. But I do expect now, and I think according to Adam Crowley of ESPN Radio, Le'Veon Bell will be back before that November 13th deadline. And then let's finish up today with the Mike Tomlin press conference. He had a lot to say. And let's start with his comments about Josh Dobbs, who came in for one play, delivered a strike for a 20-yard first down. Here is Tomlin on Josh Dobbs.
More than anything, he comes in here every day with the mentality that I talked about in terms of trying to get better. He's got a unique opportunity in that he backs up a seasoned veteran like Ben, which provides maybe some more opportunities to get first-team reps. I like the spirit in which he approaches those days, Wednesdays, regular season Wednesdays being one of them. He gets a significant number of first-team reps on Wednesdays. Some Wednesdays are better than others in terms of results, but I like his mentality every Wednesday, and I think that mentality has continually put him in the position to be viewed in the ways that he's viewed and to deliver in some of the ways that he's delivered.
How about that play from Josh Dobbs? I didn't talk about it yesterday on the rapid reaction, but I probably should have because that was a huge play in the game. Second and 20, backed up at our own goal line. Ben Roethlisberger out of the football game, looked bad, didn't know how long he was going to miss. Dobbs comes in, it's a called running play, he checks out of it, he goes to a pass, delivers a strike to Juju for a first down, keeps that drive alive. An amazing play, and you heard Tomlin there talk about his mentality. I mean, his mentality is what got him the roster spot in the first place. You go back to my evaluation of the 53-man roster, especially before it was announced officially, and I was saying the entire preseason, there's just no place for Dobbs. He's in a lose-lose situation. If he plays well, he's not making this roster, and if he plays poorly, he's still not making the roster. There's no way that he was going to make that roster, And yet he did. And he did that because he went out, especially in that game against Carolina, in a game where it felt like he was trying out for another team and there was no place for him on the Steeler roster. And he didn't care. He went out there and had the best performance he's ever had as a quarterback and earned that spot in that moment. And I credited him for it. I mean, it was a fantastic performance he had in that preseason game. And it was all he could do to make the roster. And then you saw it again on Sunday. I mean, that confidence that he has in himself, the mentality he has to go out there and check out of a running play, deliver that strike into coverage to Juju for a first down, keeping that drive alive. And Ben Roethlisberger would come in on the next play. But hats off to Josh Dobbs, man. He has had, it's a terrific story for him in 2018. Even if it is just one regular season play, it was awesome. Another player who's getting more playing time now is LJ Ford after his performance against the Atlanta Falcons, where I think he turned a lot of heads in his ability to play in sub-package football. Tomlin was asked about him in this week because he played again against the Baltimore Ravens.
It's just evolved over the course of the journey. We're looking at, you know, the components available to us, the men and their skill sets and what they're being asked to do and what their capabilities are. It's just been revealed to us over the course of time. It's still very much a work in progress. All of those sub-package roles, you know, that's today's NFL, man. Multiple sub-packages and personnel groups and matchups and so forth. And he's helped us in some recent games with some things that he's able to do.
LJ Ford's been an underrated part of this Steelers resurgence defensively. I mean, they, you know, they're on their path back to respectability. And LJ Ford has been an underrated part of it. I mean, his ability to cover running backs out of the backfield, his ability to be an asset at the inside linebacker position as a coverage linebacker has been very good. Now, they've used him on some blitzes here and there, and I don't think that's smart. The Steelers have done these kind of delayed blitzes the last couple weeks that really just haven't gotten there. But when Ford is out there covering running backs out of the backfield, when he's used in his coverage role, which I think is his best asset, look at the numbers. How did Duke Johnson do as a receiver out of the backfield against the Pittsburgh Steelers? He was non-existent, as was Nick Chubb. How did the Ravens do this week getting running backs out of the backfield? I mean, it wasn't, you know, that they certainly weren't driving down the field with the kind of easy success that they had in the first matchup. And so I think LJ Ford is a big part of that. Now, the defensive line has been resurgent, the pass rush has been better, the Steeler defense as a whole has just been better about not getting beat deep. And there's a lot of that, but LJ Ford is another piece to it, as is Morgan Burnett and his path back to full health. Tomlin was asked about comments he made to the CBS announce crew about how Terrell Edmonds is probably seeing too much playing time as Morgan Burnett has been injured. Here's Tomlin on the Burnett-Edmonds situation at safety.
Edmonds has done a nice job, but the totality of his play largely has been because of the lack of availability of Morgan. And as Morgan gains his footing from a health standpoint, I'm interested in playing both guys. You know, a lot of exposure to young guys isn't always good for their growth and development, because with exposure comes negativity. Edmonds has done a nice job, but I'm not going to forget why he's in the lineup down in and down out. It's because Morgan has been hurt. And as Morgan gets healthy, I'm open to infusing him back into the lineup and watching those guys compete and letting both guys play and hopefully getting productive play out of the position. That's my mentality, but that's no secret.
Terrell Edmonds certainly hasn't been bad over the past month or so that he's been asked to fill in at starting strong safety in place of Morgan Burnett. He hasn't been great either. I mean, we talked about the hesitancy that he has in coverage. We talk about what a freak athlete he is, but you don't see that on the field just yet. He's not comfortable in that spot. And so because of that, I think Tomlin is right to say that, you know, when Morgan Burnett gets back to full health, and I think the Steelers are right to ease him back into the lineup slowly but surely, given the amount of injury problems he's had in the 2018 season. You go all the way back to training camp of this year where he missed a lot of training camp. He's missed time throughout his entire career. It's smart of the Steelers to work him in slowly. But as we start going up against these high-powered offenses at San Diego, New England, New Orleans, that kind of thing, Edmonds is going to get tested in those moments. And so probably better that it's Morgan Burnett in a starting spot. But look, the Steelers play so much sub-package anyway. I mean, Edmonds is going to be on the field in some form or fashion. It's going to be about finding what is his best spot versus what is Morgan Burnett's best spot. And I think that's where Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin are going to have to figure out is not how to hide Terrell Edmonds, but how to put him in a spot where he can feel confident, where he can use that athleticism to his advantage, because you see it at times, and especially the two interception returns he's had this year. You've seen that, you know, when he feels comfortable returning the football and using his full speed and his full athleticism. But there are just times when he's out there trying to defend the run or trying to defend the pass where he just looks too hesitant And that can be a worry against some of the more high-powered offenses. Tomlin was also asked about the Artie Burns situation and where he is in the lineup right now. I'm going to play the full clip because Tomlin, I don't think Tomlin enjoyed the question, but I think this tells you everything you need to know about where Artie Burns is right now on this defense.
About a month and a half ago, you said you would rotate Cody and Artie until one of them created separation between the two. Has Cody established that?
You tell me. Based on usage.
Was Artie week 9 healthy the other day?
He was.
You tell me, where is Artie Burns on this defense? Well, he is non-existent over the past 2 weeks. This is the second week in a row he did not play a single defensive snap. And you heard Jacob Klinger of Penn Live ask Tomlin, was he healthy enough to play in week 9? And Tomlin said, yes, he was. So, Artie Burns, I mean, the pecking order is clear. Artie Burns, not only is he not the starting outside corner, he's not even the backup. When Cody Sensabaugh went down with injury a week ago, it was Cam Sutton who came in to replace him. And that was because of, we heard, a missed meeting, although Artie had played well. But here we are again, and no sign of Artie Burns in this defense whatsoever. I mean, it is Joe Hayden on one side, Cody Sensabaugh on the other, Cam Sutton backing him up, and Artie Burns will play as necessary, and hasn't been necessary over the past 2 weeks. I mean, the Steelers are going to go with Cody Sensabaugh as your starting outside corner, likely for the rest of the year. I mean, this was a big year for Artie Burns. Don't forget, he was eligible for that fifth-year option after this year, and the Steelers will still have that decision after the year. But you have to imagine there's no way the Steelers are going to pick up the fifth-year option on Artie Burns right now, given that he's not even the backup on this football team right now. Not a good spot for Artie Burns, and really not a good spot for the Steelers secondary. Right? I mean, they're going to be going up against guys like Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees in the second half of this year, and you know those guys are going to pick on Cody Sensabaugh. I thought Cody Sensabaugh had a good game against Baltimore, but look, you're not going to be, you know, you're not playing great secondary when you're going out there with guys like Cody Sensabaugh on one side. You know, you got a rookie in Terrell Edmonds at starting safety. The secondary still, just from a personnel perspective, leaves a lot to be desired. You know, they can make up for that with their quality play up front and a good pass rush and that kind of thing. But look, this is a year where, as I've said many, many times, the scores are going to be in the 30s. This defense isn't holding anyone to under 30 in those big moments, in all likelihood. And so it's going to come down to the Steeler offense and putting up big points. But disappointing from Artie Burns. Again, if he had emerged as a real talent this year, given where the Steelers are and the rest of their defense, with Watt and Dupree being much better as pass rushers, the defensive line playing really well. Bostic and Vince Williams in run defense they've been both very solid there. I mean, the Steeler defense has the makings of, you know, an average to above average defense, but, you know, given where they are right now with Cody Sensabaugh having to start on the outside, it doesn't leave you with a warm, cozy feeling when they go up against guys like Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers. So we'll see what happens in those matchups later this year. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Panthers right here on Locked On Steelers.